Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Number to call if you have a question or comment for a guest, which we ask that you hold until after the top of the hour news, is 541-472-1270, and we'll let you air your question or comment live on the air. In the meantime, though, we want to move right along and welcome our guest today. Second Tuesday of the month, city staff is in, headed by, of course, City Manager Aaron Kubik. Aaron, welcome to the microphones of KJO Radio.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, so far, you've got the big seat today. So
I do,
so
yes.
Anything you want to start off with before we hit you with a question or two?
Well, I mean, I'm here just to sort of highlight whatever's happening within the city. We have a lot of activities that are going on within the next couple of weeks and some big decisions that are going to be coming up. Council is going to be addressing the budget through the budget committee process. The budget committee consists of the council, the 8 council members, and then 8 members at large who are citizens appointed by the city council. And JC will be here a little later, and we could talk about the budget process and the budget in general and what it represents. We have our first meeting tonight. So we wanted to touch on a little bit about that, and it is an opportunity for the public to come and talk and provide their input on the budget and where the city's going.
All right, so the general public is welcome to come in and give testimony tonight. Whereabouts and when?
Yeah, so it's at 6 o'clock. It's at the City Council Chambers, and it is a requirement by Oregon Revised Statutes that the cities provide an opportunity for public comment, and that's part of that budget process, an important piece. So we'll be presenting our budget message, and a number of departments will be presenting tonight on their budget, and then we take public comment at the end of each one of those budget meetings.
Right.
So
let me ask a question here, because I know that strategic planning usually takes place earlier in the year. It was delayed this year, and that always leads into the budget process. So is the budget process a little compressed this year? Is it going to be a little more urgency in getting things accomplished?
So the budget process is the same from a budget calendar perspective, and you're correct. At the front end, we always do some really good long-term planning, which is called strategic planning, where we get an idea of where council wants to go and head, which helps us develop the parameters for what we're presenting in the budget. This year, we did hold our strategic planning session much closer to the beginning of our budget season, but that didn't create too many difficulties. We had, of course, a one-day session with council. But before that one-day session, we were getting input from them months in advance, and then input also from the advisory committees, and we did a community survey. So we had a general idea of where we were sort of headed based on the worksheets that council was filling out in advance of that one-day session. And that provided us with some good concepts and ideas on where we would go, where the money should be spent. Council ultimately went through that process and adopted the strategic plan last month. And so we have clear direction on where we're wanting to go. And it's a two-year plan that we're actually working off of now. So we anticipate it being a plan that'll push us through this upcoming fiscal year and the following fiscal year.
All right. We'll wait for JC before we get much more into that budget session here. In the meantime, there are a couple of other topics.
Oh, yeah.
let's talk injunction right now. Where are we standing with this homeless injunction right now? Has it gone back before the courts yet?
It has not gone back in front of the courts yet. So from our injunction where we're at right now, the judge was requesting a couple of things. They were requesting the city a look at having an inventory of available resting site areas in different sites. Didn't quantify how many sites, but resting areas of 150. So to allow an opportunity for 150 people to rest in our community. And also to maybe do some minor cleanup of some of our codes. And so from both of those perspectives, city council has taken affirmative action. We have the sites available for plus 150. We have over 150 inventory if needed. And that's, of course, on 7th Street, where we currently have one in location. And then also on 6th and A, there's technically 3 separate sites, but they look like they're one big site. But they're truly separated into 3 different smaller sites. With that implementation, we are above the 150 mark. We've also made some minor modifications to the last council meeting to our codes. And now we are ready to approach the courts again and try to get the injunction lifted. The important piece about getting the injunction lifted is if we can get the injunction lifted, we have shown that we're following the court and what the desire of the court was when it comes to defining objectively reasonable. And with the injunction lifted, we can go ahead and enforce our current codes that we have adopted on books. And the opportunity for people to rest is given. Therefore, we would have our parks back from a standpoint of them not being able to rest in the parks because we'd be able to enforce that.
All right. When do we expect to go before the judge?
We anticipate that we're going to be trying to get the injunction lifted in combination with conversations with the Disability Rights of Oregon's attorney. And get that done within the next couple of weeks if we can. So, and that, with that done, we might be able to, again, it's hard to say right now because it's the schedule is not within my full authority, but I would say that within the next couple of weeks to month, we may see a change in the injunction.
I was under the impression that we were really going to try to get in front of the courts just as soon as we had expanded our availability of land and the ADA accessibility and had all of our codes fixed. All of that's done. Why is the delay getting in front of the courts?
Well, there's got to be a court date that's got to be set.
Availability.
And right now we are working with the disability rights attorney providing a recommendation for the injunction to be lifted. And the way that works is the other side, if they see that we've met that, they can concur. And then jointly, the injunction would be lifted. So that's the point that we're at now. The final action on the code just occurred a couple of days ago, last Wednesday. So we, from beginning last week, as soon as I was adopted, we started the gears rolling to get the injunction lifted.
All right. Now, once the injunction is lifted, that doesn't necessarily mean the suit goes away, or is that why we're dealing with the opponents there?
Yeah, with the injunction lifted and the case that the Disability Rights of Oregon brought against the city, that could mean a dismissal of the case then because we've met all of the requirements. So we could be the injunction lifted and the case goes away. That would be the best case scenario.
Okay, well, all right, we'll keep an eye on that, certainly. I keep hearing from various we've had the city council in here, and we've certainly seen the city council meetings. These are temporary sites. Are there any other sites that are going to be available, and are we exploring those? Do you have anything to add to that?
We currently, with the sites that council has identified, we are meeting what the court is trying to define as objectively reasonable for the city of Grants Pass. Therefore, there is no additional need for the city to identify additional resting locations. Now, there are some efforts happening in our community with some nonprofit organizations that are interested in identifying a site and acquiring a site and moving forward with implementing a sustainability center, navigation center, provided services for the unhoused. And where that goes, the city is not fully aware yet, and we will be an active partner, I think, in that process, whoever that group might be, in trying to help identify, locate, and get up and running some site that will help from a standpoint of a navigation center.
Any idea of a timeline? Well, I know no line has been drawn in the sand because sand will move an awful lot.
Yeah, no, we don't have a timeline on that. There's too many moving pieces and parts, and too many of those parts and pieces are not associated with city responsibility. So I really can't say. It is truly a community event and activity that would occur. If you see how this runs and how this operates throughout the state of Oregon, the majority of these centers, of these resting site areas, urban campgrounds, whatever you may want to call them, they've been established through a nonprofit like Rogue Retreat, UCAN, whoever that may be, that ultimately takes responsibility and ownership of operations and managing those type of sites. So it's really how fast and how well the community comes together, and there's a lot of momentum with that right now. A lot of groups have come together, and there's a lot of interest where we're all in the boat rowing in the same direction now. So I see something happening and the potential of something happening in our near future.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that, and thank you very much for your insights there. Mr. Raleigh has joined us here, but before we get to really deep into the budget here, let's deal with another topic here that's been on the mind of a lot of people, and that's the water treatment plant and the suspension of the BRIC grants and that situation.
Yeah.
Now, as I understand it, that whole program in 08, it wasn't just a BRIC grant for Grants Pass. That would have given us $50 million towards the building of a water treatment plant.
Right.
What's the status there right now?
Well, that's a great question. We have at our upcoming workshop on May 19th, there's a couple of items that we're going to be talking with council about. One of them is the water plant financing update, and we're going to give them an update on where we're sitting with that. Yes, you're correct when you said the BRIC grant was taken away, basically. It was not just from Grants Pass, but the program was dissolved
at the federal level. The whole
program went away. Yeah. So there were multiple agencies throughout the nation that ultimately did not receive funding. I think Medford lost out on around $20 million. We lost out on $50 million. And a number of municipalities and communities are trying to figure out how to fill that gap. We've been doing the same thing. We've been crunching numbers. We've been working with our consultants. We've been looking at options and alternatives. We'll be providing those to council at the Monday, the 19th workshop. Ultimately, we're not getting the brick. We may have to flex and transition. There are other opportunities that ultimately could save us money by not having the brick grant. Of course, whenever you deal with federal dollars, you deal with additional requirements. So you've got your local dollars that come in. Say it's a transportation project, and we have a transportation fee, and we're going to fund this road project. And let's say we're going to do a quarter mile of road, and it's going to cost $1.5 million for us to do it locally, and we can get it done. We may have received state dollars, and if we have received state dollars or federal dollars, that $1.5 million project more than likely will increase in cost 20% or even greater sometimes based on the additional requirements that are placed when you take on state and federal dollars. I use this as an example because from a federal perspective in our water treatment plant, those BRIC dollars were federal dollars. The elimination of those BRIC dollars means for us potentially some cost savings to help shore up that gap, that $50 million gap. So we may be able to not have to comply with some of the federal regulations like the Buy America, Build America, the BABA that's out there. There's some things that we could potentially do to where there'll be some cost savings to us, and we'll be trying to report some of that to council on Monday.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to that. But just for clarification, so many agencies lost out on these BRIC grants. The whole program went away under the label of waste, fraud, and abuse. And I know Mr. Kennedy worked on this extremely hard, and we saw change after change after change coming in on the planning situation here. So I doubt that there was any waste involved. I don't think there was any fraud. Did we abuse anything, or is that the whole program went away? And because of that situation, is there any chance that those dollars could be reinstated, or do we need to wait on that at all?
Yeah, you mentioned waste and fraud. I think that was focused mainly on the federal level and the administration of the multiple programs that they have in place. When it comes to the granting agencies like cities across the nation, we are already so set in and have done valued engineering and have to follow procurement laws that there is not that issue of the waste and fraud at the federal level that I think is occurring or the things that they're looking at. So that waste and fraud discussion was never, and I have never heard it at the local level when it comes to the implementation of the dollars, but more in the administration of the programs.
All right. To your knowledge, is our congressional delegation working on that, or is it a done deal?
To date, right now, it is our understanding that BRIC is not coming back, and so that's where we're at right now. You know, something could happen. We don't know. But the fact with the BRIC is, it's interesting, is we are at a point where we have so many of our things together. We've done such a great job. Jason Kennedy and our crew and our consultants have really put us into a great place to where we're ready to break ground. And once we break ground, we can't go back and retro. Hey, if it comes back, if we break ground and we're 6 months into it, although we haven't built a building yet, and all of a sudden brick comes back, we're ineligible. You many times when you're looking at federal dollars, you get the federal dollars if you have not started the program. And so these are things that we're going to have to discuss with council, and we don't see brick coming back. It has been very clear at the congressional level when we've done our outreach to the federal government and to also the granting agencies. It is clear that brick is gone.
All right. To follow up on that, the grant plans, as you outlined, comes with restrictions, and that's added to the cost.
Yes.
Once those restrictions go away, do we have an estimate on how much we can save now that we don't have to meet those guidelines?
I don't have those numbers. We may be able to provide some of those at the Monday workshop, but at this point, I don't have anything to tell you. I can tell you, though, that we will be able to, without the BRIC grant, reduce some of those requirements, which would provide some cost savings to the project.
All right. Now let's talk about the funding. What's that going to do to my water bill? Anything?
That ultimately is going to be a discussion for Monday on what approach and how we move forward with the funding for the water treatment plant.
All right.
So there's going to be a number of options, I think, that we're going to bring to council on continuing with this project.
As I understand it, we were set to break ground this month.
Yeah.
And is that postponed?
Well, we are getting we're still hopes of getting started, but we need to have a conversation with council before we do, and that's one of the things that we're going to be doing on the workshop on Monday.
So we'll watch that Monday workshop
extremely
closely.
It's going to be a big one. Yeah, we've got that. That's a big one in itself. On Monday also, we're going to be talking grant programs, which is extremely important from an economic perspective. Those individuals in our community or those individuals looking at moving into our community, we're talking about urban renewal agency grants, which can have a big impact on creating a catalyst project that can make a big difference in our community economically. We're also having a discussion on consideration of alternative approaches for low-barrier shelter acquisition and operations. So that's another item that we'll be discussing. Council was looking at, as you're likely aware, maybe acquiring a site and finding a site and acquiring a site for a shelter for shelter services for then a nonprofit to come in and manage. There's another opportunity that we have also to help incentivize this, and that would be through a grant program instead of us actually acquiring. Council's going to be considering that and having that discussion on Monday also.
We're talking big dollars here, aren't we?
Potentially.
And we got the big dollar guy here with us here.
Yes, we do. Uh-huh.
and J.C. Riley has joined us here. So we'll continue, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment. First, this message. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, city staff in studio today. And, pardon me, City Manager Aaron Kubik started off, and J.C. Riley, the budget guru, has joined us. Go ahead, make budget interesting for us. I dare you.
I don't know if I can. I know a lot of people, they hear the word budget, and I think their eyes get heavy and they start to fall asleep. So hopefully I can make this conversation as exciting as possible.
Well, first of all, we've got a budget meeting coming up. Outline for us what's going to happen here. Aaron gave us a little brief mention on that, and it's going to happen, what, tomorrow night?
Actually, it's tonight at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. We have another meeting scheduled for Thursday at 6 p.m., and then the following Tuesday right now are our three scheduled meetings. And potentially, if we need to go longer, there may be some more meetings.
Now, those are all open to the public.
Those are all open to the public. We do take public comment at each one of the meetings, and the public is more than welcome to join us.
All right. So what do we expect tonight?
What do we expect tonight? So our city manager is going to get up there and lead us off with a budget message that is a part of our ORS requirement as part of our communication to the community and the public. And then we're going to go through, hopefully, pretty quickly and go through some of our lands and buildings projects, which are our allocation of resources to general city properties and or other equipment projects. And then we're going to get an explanation of the police budget, followed by the fire budget, and then followed again by community development, which will be parks and recreation, aquatics, tourism, economic development, downtown development, and some other programs that Parks and Community Development looks over. We've got a lot to go over tonight.
Now, that's tonight.
That's just one night.
That's tonight.
That is correct.
All right. So have you really briefed your cohort there to your right hand as to what to say? Have you put the words in his mouth yet?
I haven't put the words in his mouth, but I think he's been doing this long enough to where there's no surprises in this one.
All right. Generally speaking, what's the status of Grants Pass's fiscal situation right now?
Yeah, I would say we are fiscally strong. That comes from our policies. We hold a 25% general fund contingency, which is kind of the gold standard for the general fund. Back in 2008, everybody kind of, because of the recession, lowered that and tried to build theirs back up maybe, where the city of Grants Pass stayed fiscally sound through those periods. So I think it's more of the same. We do have further conversations to be had moving through this budget as we are coming right to the edge of that financial policy, which if we're going to continue the service level at which we currently provide the community, we may need to look at additional funding sources.
All right. I'm under the impression that just like the county, you have to provide a balanced budget. Go ahead.
That is correct.
Say yes or no.
Yes.
Yes. It's part of the Oregon Revised State Statute. It is an Oregon law that every budget needs to be balanced. And so the balancing of revenues and expenditures have to be the exact same.
All right. How much juggling are you really able to do? Or are you confined by regulations?
So there's definitely that. There's regulations.
Juggling might not be a good word in this case, but...
Yeah, there are certain things that we can do as far as staff to help alleviate and provide value to the community. I know we're always looking to utilize whether it's technology or looking at the services we do provide and the usage of those services and utilize the resources in which the community gives us in the best manner.
All right. We're coming up to the news break. We didn't have much time to get you on here because your cohort next to you just took up the whole first half hour. and we thank him for that. In the meantime, though, we want to remind you all to stay tuned. We've got news coming up right here on KAJO Radio, and we'll continue after the top of the hour news with more from the city manager and the budget director for Grants Pass.
The month of May brings new specials.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tuesday Talk Show. If you have a question or comment for our guest, by all means, give us a call. The number this morning, 541-472-1270, and we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment in person to our guest. Once you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue, and as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. Our guest, once again, City Manager Aaron Kubik and City Budget Director J.C. Rowley is with us here today, and it is budget season, and that's really the topic at hand today. What's your biggest challenge getting ready for tonight, JC?
I think it's conveying complex information in a simple manner. We've got five new counselors. We've got, I think, three new budget committee members. So this will be a lot of first-time information for a lot of them. And the budget document, I think, is 350-ish pages. And so there's a lot of information to go over in a short period of time. And hopefully we can, as a staff, convey that both to the budget committee and the public.
All right. Have you been dealing with the new counselors so far? Have they come up with any questions? Do they know what to expect tonight?
Yeah, we've gotten questions from new counselors, new budget committee members that have provided some insight as to potentially areas of questions that they may have either tonight or through the series of meetings. But again, those questions can come up through the presentations that each of the directors may be given to as to needing further clarification.
What kind of information are they looking for now, or is that something you can share with us?
I think it's what does this budget withhold? And I think as it sits right now, with all the new counselors, it was deemed from staff to kind of provide a status quo budget, not trying to get too far out ahead of what this council's policy decisions could be. And so it's keeping it at the level of service that we currently provide. And then hopefully we will move through this next budget year and the policy board will give us better direction or more direction as to where they want us to go with service levels.
So we start with the status of where we are right now and then look ahead to see if we can, one, maintain that, expand it, or if we need to shrink it. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a very fair assessment because, again, it's up to the council who has a new strategic plan that was just adopted last week as far as where they would like to go. And there's some new initiatives on there, new goals. And I think it's as part of those new goals, there'll need to be maybe some movement as far as where we go as far as a policy board.
All right. How specific do you expect things to get tonight?
You know, it can get super specific. I've been doing this for a little bit to where we can get really into the weeds as far as the detail of questions. As going down to maybe the number of gallons of water that Jason produces at the treatment plant and how many chemicals he uses to do that. Every question is open and available, and we hopefully will be able to answer all those.
As I recall, one of the coming out of strategic planning, one of the major goals was public safety, and that may be number one. And earlier you mentioned some of the things we'll be going over tonight included law enforcement and public safety, probably fire and public safety. Do we have an outlook on what the status is right now there?
Yeah, with the current resources we have in the general fund, we can provide the current staffing level and the current service level for police and fire. Obviously, the police and fire chief always are looking at revisions of what the services they can provide with the dollars in which they're given to provide those services. It will be a conversation moving forward, though, as to what that next step is. Like you just mentioned, are we going to try and increase service levels, whether it's fire or policing, or are we going to maintain them, or are we going to potentially reduce them due to maybe future budget constraints?
But those service levels are a discussion that occurs with the city council, not the budget committee. Mm-hmm. And we have scheduled in the future, I think in June, council will be talking about public safety funding. And so we'll start to explore that. We need to start with a baseline. So we'll start with a baseline of where we are, what kind of funds we have to work with, and start to have that discussion with council about service levels. Are you wanting to change the service levels? Are you wanting to bring, increase something or decrease something? And so those discussions will occur, likely start to occur in June. But that's a discussion. Service levels are a discussion of the city council, not the budget committee.
All right. Well, then let's talk about the funds available for that. And you also mentioned a shrinkage. Generally speaking, are we looking at more money or less money for the coming fiscal year?
Generally speaking, we have a small increase for generic inflationary increases, whether it be franchise fees from our other utilities, which are like Pacific Power, Avista, Gas, et cetera. Property taxes, we've had a little bit of a gain on those as far as the value in the assessed area. But as far as a general increase, we don't have a new revenue stream. We don't have a new revenue source. Those were implemented in the previous year.
Well, considering inflation and that the tax base is really limited to a 3% increase each year, looks pretty tight. Is that a fair statement?
That's probably the best statement you can make.
Okay, so that's the best statement. I don't want to get to the worst statement, or can you deal with that?
No, it is tight. And again, the city of Grants Pass, even before I came here, was very, very good and always has been good about utilizing the resources that the community provides us. I think it's maybe misinformation that just because the government gets resources that they spend it, we do due diligence and try and save money where we can. There's been a historical return of budgets previous to myself and other finance directors of trying not to spend every dollar that the community provides us and utilize those resources the best we can.
All right. How do you go about trying to save money in a situation like that?
It's tough, right? We have to provide the services in which the community is charged with us. But there are also things as a staff and as a manager, as a supervisor, we look at trying to find the cheapest versions of those things, but make sure that they are a quality of an expenditure. It's even harder in the general fund, being that the general fund provides services that are people-based or personnel. meaning you need a police officer, you need a firefighter to potentially do those kinds of services. So it does become super difficult as far as when it comes to savings, but again, we try and make it as cheap as possible.
All right. Where are there areas that you're going to look for to save that money? Or are we right down to the bare bones as we speak?
I think we're pretty close to the bare bones. You know, obviously there may be a little bit of room there, but at the same time, it's getting tight, and we've had, you know, in my time here, one budget reduction in 2023, and previous to me, 2 years before that, there was another budget reduction to try and balance the budget in the general fund. So I think we're, even though we added the public safety utility fee back in June of 2024, I think we're coming right back to a similar situation.
Yeah, we're at a point, like JC mentioned, in 21 and 23, we cut basically $4 million, reduced $4 million of the budget without some major changes to service levels. There have been some changes to service levels. Like, for instance, we don't have a traffic team anymore when it comes to public, to police department.
I noticed that at every stoplight.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are service levels that have changed and have decreased over the years because of the financial constraints that we have. But we're at a place now where if we were to try to look at service level reductions, we'd be looking at the things that were still left on the table, and they would have an impact. People would see it in the community, whether it be a reduction in FTE or reduction in, say, we are down to having a discussion on whether or not we're going to continue the flower baskets downtown, which would save us like $40,000 or something like that. But every little dollar counted. So that and those type of discussions are all occur with council at the council level at some point. If we go there, we don't have on the schedule to talk about those type of things. But public safety funding will probably be the first step towards looking at service levels in our largest departments, which is public safety, police, and fire. That's where we have the largest FTE, and that's where our biggest expense is.
When you say FTE, we're talking about full-time employees. Is that
yes.
correct? So we're talking people when we say FTE.
Yes.
I wouldn't anticipate any reduction in public safety FTEs. Because from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're right at a level right now where technically we should have more both fire and police.
That is correct.
Okay.
We currently are at minimum staffing levels when it comes to operating our fire stations and our police department. We are definitely in need of additional FTE at some point, and that's going to be, like I mentioned, a council discussion. But we have such a great group of colleagues that I work with and JC and I work with. They are out there in the field every day doing what's best for our community, but they're getting tired. There's a lot of overtime, forced callbacks, and other things that are occurring in order for us to maintain these service levels, which all have an impact on what our needs are when it comes to providing a system to where our service providers, our colleagues, are healthy mentally and physically, and we have a expectation of a community service level that we're providing, and it's a balancing act to make sure that we're doing that appropriately from an organization perspective and still providing the services to the community.
Just a little footnote here. When we're talking police and fire, in no way are we impugning the professionalism of any people on staff, both at fire and police. From my experience, I've seen the highest degree of professionalism there, and kudos out there to both of those divisions. In the meantime, we're still talking FTEs. What's your biggest challenge coming into this budget session right now? Either one of you can step forward. Aaron or JC, what's the biggest challenge going into tonight to prepare for what? The tough questions? Are those going to come tonight, or is this informational?
Well, I think JC touched on it from my perspective. Is I think the learning curve with our budget committee, which is, as mentioned, we have a number of new individuals that are for the first time looking at a municipal budget. And this first meeting is a large meeting. You're not only receiving the budget message, but you're receiving also the budgets of three large general fund departments. And so I think that's what I think is the biggest challenge at this point.
All right, JC, for you, biggest challenge?
No, I think That is correct, and it's hard to fill in those gaps and relate those things because government finances doesn't necessarily work like your own personal finances, and so it does become a translation issue sometimes.
All right, we're going to continue this. If you have any questions about the budget coming up, and there's a big meeting tonight, give us a call at 541-472-1270. In the meantime, we need to take this message. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress right now. In studio, City Manager Aaron Kubik and Budget Director J.C. Raleigh are here with us talking about the budget meeting coming up tonight at 6 o'clock in Council Chambers. And this is going to start a significant process, and we've got several meetings outlined here. I'm really not sure where to go with the budget situation right now because, once again, budgets are not my situation here. What do I need to be asking you? What's the toughest question that you face tonight?
Oh, wow. Good question. I think tonight is more of the budget balanced? And are we meeting our state requirements as far as what this process requires? And the answer to both of those questions are yes. I think it's hard to answer that question too, because I think everybody's going to potentially come at it from a different angle on the budget committee as what their focus is as far as the most important thing this budget season. Because we have a bunch of new people and a bunch of people that come from different walks of life.
With the new counselors coming in and the new members of the budget committee, I would expect some extremely tough questions coming into this budget cycle from particularly those new members, which from a generally distant viewpoint seem to be ultra-conservative, or at least conservative. I think that's a fair assessment. So are we going to be saying cutting, or why aren't you spending here or there? What do you anticipate?
Well, I guess to answer the question, Grants Pass, even before me, has always been conservative with the use of its resources. So even with maybe a more conservative policy board, I don't know if we change the way we're operating. We still, again, look for to be fiscally responsible as a staff and look at those savings like I had talked about before. It could be a myriad of different angles that the budget committee potentially comes at it, depending on what their interests are. I think we will probably get some of those questions of why can't we increase our potential public safety services, whether it's that increase of staffing for police and fire. And I think the message back is going to be as far as financially being able to afford that at this point.
All right, being able to afford it. All right. Are there other areas that we could look at as being vulnerable in terms of funding?
No, I think you touched on it a little bit, too. I am guessing the question regarding the water treatment plant will come up and how that affects the community. And I believe Jason will be going over that on Thursday when he touches at Public Works Day.
All right. Should I hang on to my wallet?
We're going to look at it for the best possible outcome for the community, but also have council weigh in on what their opinion is on that policy.
Yeah, we understand that's evidently going to land in the laps of the city council. All you do is really provide information and move numbers, correct? Within reason.
Within reason, and hopefully it's just as simple as that.
All right. What would complicate your life right now?
Just like any other facet of city operations, really new state regulations and or new federal regulations that come down are a big part of government finance and having to coordinate and or change your practices to meet those standards is kind of hard. And finance isn't the only one. You see that in planning. You see that in police. You see that in fire. You see that in water, sewer, everybody across the board. So that's one of those things that it's hard for us to gauge and or implement because a lot of time they're unfunded mandates to where they're just deemed upon us and we need to just deal with it and move forward with our processes.
Do you have any forewarning of those or do they come as surprises or do you see anything on the horizon now?
I don't see necessarily anything financially on the horizon unless, something new were to pop up. But I think more so from the city of Grants Pass and the community's standpoint. It's what resources are we going to need from the community to potentially continue to provide the service levels in which we currently provide.
All right. From our conversations today, and once again, I'm far from being a budget expert, but what I hear is that we're fiscally pretty sound right now, but resources are limited, and although there might be some increases just in tax money and maybe some other funding coming in, we're not anticipating very much. So basically what I'm hearing is probably things are going to stay pretty close to the same, maybe with some cuts. Is that a fair assessment of what I've heard today?
I don't think we have any cuts on board for this budget, but I think it could be a potential conversation as the this next budget year progresses.
Okay, so we're fine for the fiscal year 2025 or 2026.
That is correct, which will be July 1 of 2025 right. through June 30th of 2026.
Yeah, we're experiencing, just like every other municipality is experiencing, I just remember reading an article about the city of Beaverton. They're like $10 million under in their general fund, and it's like, well, what happened? And they're having conversations that we had like 5 years ago and 3 years ago, which was our revenue stream is being outpaced by the cost, the external cost of services.
Inflation.
Yeah. And that all boils down to Measure 5 and Measure 50 and where the cities primarily get their revenue for general fund operations, which is through property taxes. And so many communities are facing or have faced years before us the similar issues. And I say years before us because, as JC mentioned, we've been very conservative over the years. And it's good to have a conservative forecast and to have a conservative budget committee. It matches well. And that's why we're in the financial shape that we're in, which is a positive shape. But it doesn't keep us sheltered from the main issue, which is expenses are outpacing the revenues.
Are there departments out there that you would send kudos to for their fiscal responsibility? And that doesn't necessarily mean being below budget, although that would be a feather in somebody's cap, but at least maintaining the service that they've got with what they've been allocated.
We have detailed meetings with JC and I both have detailed meetings with all of our departments, and it is so refreshing to have the departments come in. There is not an issue with any department with regards to their stewardship of the dollars that they're responsible for. And it's almost on the extreme to the other side of, oh, man, I'd really like to have this, but I don't want to. I want to keep my fund balance as you know, low as possible, you know, keep my fund balance to where I can return some money back to the general fund. And it's like they're almost sacrificing some of their needs in order to help the overall financial health of the organization. So it's really encouraging to see across the board all departments. And so there isn't just one. They're all working in unison together for the overall benefit of the organization and the community.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking budget right here on KAJO Radio. We've got about 3 minutes left here in the program. First of all, let's outline the meetings that we're coming up. We have one tonight. Either one of you can jump in and outline what's going to happen tonight at City Hall at 6 o'clock. They're pointing at each other, folks. JC loses.
Yeah. So tonight we'll deliver the budget message per the ORS. And then we have some lands and buildings, which are some general fund property and equipment. We'll have police, fire, and community development give their synopsis of their budget that they have recommended to the community.
All right. Now, that's coming up tonight at 6 o'clock in City Hall, and public comments will be taken. Now, another meeting coming up pretty quickly. Is that Thursday night?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. What do we expect on Thursday night?
Thursday night will be everything public works. And so you'll get sewer, streets, stormwater, water, and all the other services that public works provides the community.
All right. And I know there's at least one more schedule. When is that one again?
That'll be the following Tuesday on the 20th. And then we will do more of the administrative services and do the URA.
All right. Listen, I want to thank you very much. What should people take away from today's program? We've tried to glean some information out here that the people need to hear. What do we need to take away from this today's program here? Aaron?
Well, I think the takeaway is that we have very professional colleagues and staff that are diligent in making sure the resources are spent effectively and efficiently. We have a policy board, the city council, and then also a budget committee and a process that provides for public input in the allocation of resources. And that combination of things, along with council strategic planning, which helps guide the budget, is I think it's a system that works really well. It's provided us with good stewardship of public dollars for multiple years.
All right. One final question here: would these finance meetings, these budget meetings, be streamed on the city's website?
Yes. Yes, they will be.
All right. There you have it. JC, you looked like you had one more thing to say. He's shaking his head. No, it's radio. You have to speak.
Oh, sorry.
Right. Listen, we want to thank you very much, J.C. Riley, Budget Director, and our City Manager, Aaron Kubik. Thank you very much for your time today and your information and your expertise. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
Bear Valley Medical Clinic.